Yes, we are continuing our series, and you know, today is a Mission Sunday, so it's good to hear the variety of things that are happening around the globe and especially through Shoebox. But also, we go on with our normal series, and Ben mentioned it's called Bread and Butter, and we're looking at the basics of Christian faith, the things that we need to put in practice to grow passionately in love with God and to be empowered in the world around us. Previously, 2 weeks ago was a prayer, the importance of setting aside time and diligently seeking the Lord. So I hope that that has increased in your journey in the last few weeks. And last week, my wife Jackie spoke on rest, what it is to know and to be settled in the presence of God, regardless of the world that's around us, and to dwell in Him and to know our place of intention and rest. But today I get the opportunity, as you see, we've got ingredients that make up the bread, or the bread, and we add the butter and we have this sort of nice meal. The ingredients I've got is the big one up in the top right-hand corner. Is it right-hand to you? Yes, it is. The top right-hand corner of the flour, the substance, the bigger element, not bigger, this is another element in making our bread and butter. Flour, it is needed and needed. We have to work at it to have it to rise up and to grow and to be something that we can enjoy and we give and we receive when we eat together. Jesus said this of himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life." That's a phrase I want you to focus on. To give his life as a ransom for many. And because he gave his life and we have an opportunity of eternal life with him and life in the Spirit now, we are called to be givers. Now, it's a wonderful topic to talk about what it is to be a heart of giving. And why? Because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Therefore, we give as a constant action of faithful people. I remember my dad being advanced in years and beginning to lose his faculties, and such was the giving heart that we began to see he was giving to neighbours, giving to those he visited, and we had to rush and say, "Dad, we need to be careful that there needs to be something left to pay your departure into this world." He wanted, and that was his mode of operation, and we had to be careful and watch that. But may that be something that from the start of our life to we end, that we are givers because God first loved us and gave his Son. Now, I'm going to use the analogy of giving as in your personal home. What you give to sustain your personal home is what you give to sustain your spiritual home. So here's the analogy, and Ben has used the image of sitting around a table, and I'm sure that the basics of your home may be more eloquent than this, but we sit and we share a meal either with our pets or our family. And this is to symbolize the things that we need to sustain our personal home and all the things that go on with the fact that you can have a meal somewhere at home. And over here, I'm going to use this to symbolize what it is to come together in your spiritual home. And the things that we give to sustain all that God does here together. And I'm going to symbolize this by the act of communion, where we come together around the Lord's table. But there's so many more things that happen in your spiritual home. The things that we do to have a place of a body to sustain that is valuable, and that is a mirror, an application of what we need to sustain our spiritual home. That's just an illustration, and I'm going to work through a few of those things together. I've got four areas of giving that are called for those who follow Jesus to enjoy the act of giving and to participate in receiving. But before I do, I want to pray and give thanks because, as the Apostle Paul said, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Because this church has been here for more than 80 years, And there's been people through every generation that has given to sustain the work that is here. So this is a wonderful topic. And I'm talking to faithful people who give regularly. So we start by honouring that which has been taking place not only in the past, but even now. To have the songs, to share communion, to share things here, even today, has been an act of giving by many. And Paul goes on to say, I pray always with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. We're doing something eternal when we give together here. And be confident of this. Right? Be confident. The things that we give, small or large, he who began the good work in you and started here in 1927 when that little place and will continue on through others that come and go, he will carry it on until the day our Lord returns. Amen to that? Well, let me pray and give thanks for what God has done already. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. And I sit here and I see faces that have served you, that have given diligently, and we honour that. We recognise that even this room and the building and around us are here by the faithfulness of many others in the path. And we are grateful that we stand on those, do our part of giving and service here, so that the next generation, those in this local area who are still yet to know and to hear from you, can have that gift of a community, a place, and an opportunity to hear of your great love. So, Lord, I honour those that faithfully give financially, faithfully give of time already in this place. And we take nothing for granted. We pray that you will inspire us for the things that we're all called to and perhaps areas to continue to flourish in, that you may do your greater work in each of us and in the wider community. And we praise you for all the things that have happened already, even this morning. Amen. Well, our spiritual home and our physical home. Let me start with the big ones. We give to maintain your spiritual home, and it's a priority in your journey, wherever you are. Whether you pay rent, or whether you're paying a mortgage, or whether you're paying rates and fees, if you don't set that aside in your family home, there's not much to come to, is it? That's a priority of giving, for you need a place to come and to have a separation from the world to engage and enjoy the wonder of your place of rest personally. So my first point is the tithing is a priority. We prioritise that. I want to talk about what it is to prioritise your tithing. So it is with our spiritual home. As the people of God's family, we are called to intentionally and regularly set aside our finances to sustain our spiritual home. You may know the benchmark from the scriptures all the way through is a tenth of the things that God has provided for you, a tithe. But more than that is to be generous. And I know the times of economic transitions are happening all the time, but this standard doesn't seem to change in God's economy, for he can prove his power through all seasons, but he calls his people to give generously, and the benchmark seems to be a tenth that God has provided for you to return to him. We see this all through the scriptures. It starts with even Abraham, when he first got spoils from the circumstance when he was traveling through the land of Israel, and he became wealthy because he was being attacked, and he went and cleaned out the opposition, and he had a bounty. And it says he came to Melchizedek, was the king of Salem, which you now know as Jerusalem. He was the priest of the Most High God, and Abraham, there returning from the defeat of the kings, he blessed him, and Abraham then gave him a tenth of everything. Interesting, the name Melchizedek, there's this mysterious location of a godly presence there eternally. Remember, whatever's happening in the global sense, there's a godly presence in that place that will continue eternal past and future. But that's another message. Melchizedek, and what did he say? The king of righteousness, the king of Salem, or the king of peace. So we come to the king of righteousness, to the king of peace. and to give our tenth in the setting where God has placed us. This series is meant to be practical, so I want to share a few practical thoughts on the journey. I encourage you to check where your current circumstances are and to be faithful and honour God consistently with your giving. Make it a priority. So I'm going to suggest you set aside a season to discern. Many of us might go, my goodness, I'm here and Lord, I got this and this. I know I'm in the same circumstance, friends. God's word remains consistent. So here's my suggestion, wherever you are on the journey, set aside a season. You might say a month. Lord, I'm going to check if what you're saying is true. I'm going to honour you for a month specifically, or a term, or a season. And I lay that before you, Lord, for you to provide not only for me, but for my community, for my earthly home, but also my spiritual home. That may take steps towards something that is hard to do at the beginning, but you may see God provide for you in ways that you did not imagine. Now, I'm talking about a prosperity gospel. We don't preach this sense of you give so that you can get a bounty. I don't see that in Scripture. I see primarily honour what God has placed before you. Let him provide for your basic needs and he will multiply the things in your life. It's not about I give so I get more. I don't see that. This teaching goes on. In Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Interesting. Test me. Interesting. That's that thing saying, if I set this aside for you, Lord, for a time period, I will wait on you and watch what you do in my life. There may be other things in your journey, not financial, that are not moving. And God is saying, I want you to be faithful here and you let me take care of those areas that you can't see move. Step one is to be faithful. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room. Wow. That's an act of trust. I know we all have burdens and circumstances and changing trends, and we're not an overly financial community. I want to share with you that towards the end of this financial year, we were not able to meet our budgetary expectations as our church. In fact, we had to set aside programs and things we wanted to do, and I don't think, we have to check, but I don't think we even made our financial costs for the year. I think we were under what we needed to survive for the rest, for the 24-25. That's what we're in now, are we? 25? And while it was important to consider altering extra staffing costs for the years ahead, it was important to change. In fact, Ben and Shelby and I were considering whether it is appropriate for us to spend money on the children's books this year in November. And I said, nah, let me be the final things. If I do, that's not changing.
Be faithful.
But I don't want people to jump to give to a particular thing, because that's where you become prideful. I want you to give as God calls you in the tent and let the body decide where it goes. I've heard those who say, I'll give to this, and then that becomes like a mantra, like a white elephant. You give as God calls you and you trust the leadership to discern where it best goes. So I call you, firstly, would you make your tithing a priority? Secondly, we know that our home is more than building, more than paying rent, more than maintaining rates. Your home, you bless people in your home. You share birthdays or buy something for your pets. You do things for the kids spontaneously. There's something that you treat yourself, you know. It's not just a building where all the functions are paid. You do things for one another. You spontaneously bless each other. Or you buy things to make your home those little bits of nice plants and details and things. You bless as the Lord, or as you're inspired to in your home. Well, it's the same here. To bless regularly one another. We want to demonstrate our love to others in blessing perhaps flowers, perhaps chocolates, perhaps a thoughtfulness as someone's going past you, to have an eye for the body, for your family, your spiritual brothers and sisters, to be thoughtful in practical ways, to treat them as close as a brother and as a sister, even though you may not know all the details and you don't need to. We're in God's family. He knows the bigger picture. Be thoughtful in practical ways. One of the suggestions I thought about is this is a practical series. We all go to Bunnings, or you all go to Myers, or you all go to places, and there's always those little gift cards. I wonder if you pray in your heart and you say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to prepare something in my car or in my wallet, and I'm going to wait till someone I see that the Lord reveals, and I'm going to be ready to bless them in some way. Or chocolates, or whatever you think that God places on your heart. Maybe you've sat here and you thought, I wish someone would do something. Yeah, I've been there. You be the one that starts that giving, because God first gave to us. The heart of giving doesn't stop when you don't get. Okay? We give. So I'd encourage you to bless one another regularly. You know, the story which Jesus told was the saints who were in heaven, and the king comes to those and say, you bless me. And he said, Lord, when do we bless you? We didn't know when we blessed you. And the righteous answered them, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you, you know, give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger? When did we do these things for you, God? And he says to them, the king will reply, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, interesting key, globally or personally, spiritual brothers and sisters, you did for me. As we do that, if you buy or consider someone, you're actually doing something to your Savior. That's what how he interprets that. As you act towards your brothers and sisters, you're doing it to me. Wow. There's power in that, isn't there? Giving to others is attributed to giving to our Savior. Honor that. Bless one another regularly. So prepare something in your car, something in your house. Consider in your own mind, even just one thing. I need to be ready. Every time I come to this body, there's someone there that needs a gift from me, and it may not be financial. Bless regularly. We start with a commitment first to our home and to our spiritual home and to our physical, and then have a spontaneous act of giving in the home to make it have vibrancy. You do it there, let's do it for one another. Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Something happens in your heart when we set aside and it takes place and we get a chance to do that gift. Something in you goes, wow, thank you, Lord. You connected the dots and I just prepared the place. So may there be an attitude of constant giving and spontaneous blessing one another all through the seasons of life here. I know I've had a great conversation with a young guy who's part of this church and has travelled on recently, and he said, I remember, Phil, I was complaining at you that the church didn't do this, the church didn't do this. And I said, you're right. We can't fulfil that person's need. We can't jump over here. We can't do all the hoops. And I challenged him, and I didn't remember it. He said, you challenged me, and you said, the church is not there to meet your every needs. The church is there so you can bless others through it. And thank the Lord. I can't remember saying it, but maybe I got my back up. I don't know what it was. I just said it out in the spirit, and he said, that was right. And he's found a place where he pours into now. And in that way, something's renewing in his heart. Okay, there's so much more than that's in your personal home than just those two items. Something's got to happen regularly in your personal home. Someone's got to cook dinner every night. Someone's got to take out the rubbish every week. Someone's got to wash the dishes, otherwise they pile up. It's not much good if there's no clean clothes in the house. There's a rhythm that takes place in your personal home. The functional needs. We're to serve consistently. To serve one another out of love in our heart is what keeps your home functioning. There's a rhythm. Otherwise, things pile up and things get difficult in your home. Imagine if a member of your family or if yourself decided, nope, I've had enough. I'm never cleaning out the fridge. Oh, my goodness. I was in the trade and that was the young apprentice's job to do every month, and that was not a nice sight. We have a function of obedience to one another in servant life. To serve consistently. 1 Timothy 6 says this, and then Paul was teaching Timothy about those who are wealthy, those who have adequate access to things. And all of us here, believe it or not, we are wealthy, regardless of whether we're feeling well or not. We have access to things. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share whatever you have. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation in the coming age. Treasures in heaven, not just here, eh? Greater ones. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly theirs. As you have an act of service for one another here in this life, you are preparing something eternal. Your passion in your servanthood makes the pathway to the passion and community that we will live in eternity. So I urge us to be consistent, not just whenever you feel like. Now, sometimes servanthood gets hard. Sometimes we need a break from a particular area of ministry, and that's understandable, but it should only be a short. It should only be a hiatus to get back in, to be with one another. You are needed. God builds his church, and every person here has been equipped for the purposes of why you're here. I say that in love, okay? And he's gifted us, and he's placed talents. And there's dreams and aspirations that need to come out of here that's waiting. So I urge you to consistently serve one another, not when you feel like it. And there are times when it's hard to see that my day's on. I got to put my, what's the old phrase, put my shoulder to the plow, is that the phrase? What was it, shoulder to the wheel? I urge you to be consistent. I urge you to take up your rightful place of servanthood for one another as a blessing, as giving of your energy. Each of us is called. So here's a practical thing I want to suggest to you. Perhaps have a fresh way of engaging in what you serve. And I thought about this with Ben speaking about prayer 2 weeks ago. And the habit that Jackie and I have is we park over there and we pray before we walk into this site when we're speaking. We set aside 2 or 3 minutes, forget about everything. Lord, as we go in to do something, would you be with us? Would you go ahead of us? And I wonder what the pattern of behaviour of your servant life is as you come. Oh, I'm rushed. Got from here, got to get there, got to play this, got to do that. Thanks, guys. I'm out the door. I wonder if you could engage in a fresh way of going, before I walk here, I'm going to stop somewhere. I'm going to ask the Lord, go before me. Make this thing I'm endeavouring to do in your name have glory to you. Pray for your team or an aspect. Perhaps you've thought of something. Why aren't we doing this? That's a key. Stop. Start your prayer life ahead of what your servant life would do, and maybe the freshness won't be as stale that we get into. And I encourage you, approach your servanthood in a fresh way. For we're serving the King of Peace, the King of Righteousness. It's in his name that we do these things. So we need to ask him to go before. And perhaps you could be the first one here to set up, not the last running in. You get to your work times on time. We're serving the King. I know you're busy. I know there's tests. I know there's world doing things. But this is our calling. We're serving the Master. So may we lift our passion of priority of serving faithfully. I want to make two suggestions on this area of things to consider. I know Phil, our chairperson, is also the church financial treasury man. He's in our eldership is short, so he's managing three roles, not only the chairperson, not only the project issues, but also the financial understanding. Obviously, we've had to pay someone to manage those things for the ethics, but someone needs to oversee that. Maybe there's a wisdom here that would support our eldership. Maybe a fresh way of looking at your ministry could be one area there. And we know our children's ministry, we've said that only be on fortnightly for a while. And it's a joy of hearing the kids, and that may change. Maybe there's a fresh area for you to consider serving in our children's ministry. I lay that before you. And come to see Ben and I, there's many other areas, but they're two priorities that I would lay before you. If not, pray for them as you come to this place. Have a fresh wind of approach and let the Spirit do more when you thought it was not moving. Maybe he'll move more because we're in prayer and hungering to see his work. Okay, that's a giving in service consistently. Okay, one more. It's joy, isn't it, to serve? It's joy to give and receive. Okay. When you come into your home, yes, mortgage rates, whatever they're paid, good. Yes, you do things like you buy the tea and coffee and you bless one another in the home, good. And you're managing to do the rhythms, dishes, lawns, gardens, all those servant things that have to happen. Is that all that you give in your family home? I think there's many other things, but one thing I want to say. You give time to one another. If you were to go from the front door to the TV and never say hello to anyone, or if your pet was at the door waiting to see you and you went, I'm busy. If you went from cooking the dishes to watching the TV to going to sleep and not saying hi to anyone in the home, you could have the best building. You could have all the things blessing inside. You could be doing the rhythm, but it'd be pretty cold, wouldn't it? You give time for one another. And yeah, I can report the ships in the night times of we're doing things and you think, have I stopped? And I'm not standing here saying I've got that one sorted, but I'm realising, and we all do, when someone looks just for a moment and says, how are you? How was the day? Or you talk to your pet and they want to, you know how the dogs are always happy to see you? I'm not a cat owner because I know they've got different approaches. But, you know, we can be too busy just to listen. I think this is probably more important than the others because loneliness can happen in a big room and probably can happen in the church from one another. Thank you that the Lord is never far from us. Can I encourage you to make time for one another, the gift of time. The story of Jesus, he was traveling and he was going from one place to Jericho. And you may know this amazing story of this guy called Zacchaeus. And he had somewhere else to be. And it says when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. So there's this thought, hello, I need to address someone. And not just a nobody. He stopped and looked and I said, I must stay in your house today. And he came down and at once he welcomed him gladly and all the people began to say, oh, why is he associating with him? But Zacchaeus stood up and said, look, Lord, here and now I give my possessions, half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anyone or out of anything, I will pay it back 10 times. Four times the amount, sorry. I haven't found my glasses, so I'm going, well, today salvation has come to this house. In the way he used his finances. Wow. He was diddling it beforehand, we know that. But a transformation came back. This man is a son of God too, or a child of Abraham, because he demonstrated his finances right at the wallet. Whew. The gift of time Jesus spent with him transformed him. If we rush between one activity of serving and getting a cup of tea, and I'm finished here, I need to get to somewhere, we miss valuable relationship building times. The gift of time for one another, just to sit in the moment a little longer. We will miss something special if we don't. It doesn't take much to organise, to look at someone else and go, how you doing? What was the good thing about your week? What can I pray for? Stay a little longer in the moment is my last one. You know, the Spirit of God is always at work, and I think he's waiting and prompting for many things that we bypass. And the gift of time for one another. There may be a treasure that you're preparing in heaven by a relationship that you're building with a little conversation that could lead somewhere, like Zacchaeus' conversation that transformed him. You don't know until you stop long enough to stay a little longer in the moment. That is a gift to one another. The Bible says, or Jesus said, don't store up treasures for yourself here on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven where these things will not destroy them. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. You know, all we take into heaven, and you can check me on this one, all we take into heaven is our relationships with the Father and with the people. Maybe more. I've tried to think about that a lot more. We don't take anything else. God restores our body. Invest in those now. For we want more, don't you? We want to see more relationships of the treasures abounding in heaven. Okay, there's the four things I wanted to share with you of encouragement, of giving, a heart of giving. And let me just remind you of them again. Maybe one of these things will become important to you today. And I encourage you not to spend weeks before you decide. I encourage you to move soon, if not today. Jesus came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So here's some areas to give. Give your tithing priority. Set aside and discern, I am going to do what you call me to do, maybe for a short period, and then I'll test and watch you, Lord. And then move again. And then move again. Trust him at each one. I'm not saying people can jump to certain things that they can't see. Do what you can, and the Lord will meet you there. But do it. Set a season to discern. Secondly, prepare a blessing somewhere in your journey. Write a card, buy something, set aside so that at the moment when you notice it, the Spirit may prompt you and go, there it is. I've been waiting, Lord. And then walk and see something happen that you didn't. But because you prepared yourself, God is at work. Serve consistently. I encourage you to look for fresh ways of servanthood, and may prayer permeate that which we do so your gift will grow. And lastly, just stay a little more longer in the moment. Don't think that's not a treasured gift. It is. To hear someone, to understand, and for you to be heard in return, stay a little longer in the moment. I'm going to invite the music team to come back, and I want to pray over these thoughts for you in the things we do on our earthly physical home. We want to multiply in our spiritual home. So as you contemplate those things, here's a few verses for us to take hold of. Remember, we're told, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously each should give what you have decided in your heart between you and the Lord. God is able to bless you abundantly. So I missed that good line. God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Amen to that. That's a different community. It's not the footy club or the cricket club. You've got to pay your fees to get over the line. It's an honour, a command, an act of love, because we want to flourish together, not only in your personal home, but in your spiritual home. And remember this, my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He's the one we trust. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. It belongs to him. May we give and honour our time, our finances, our servanthood, and our blessing towards one another. Let me pray. And I'll leave the team to just give glory to God for all that we have already, that it may be abundantly clear of his blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be encouraged in this area, and that you can do things through our trust in you and our faithful obedience. And we demonstrate this, Lord, financially, practically, personally, and with time. And would you do more than we can hope or imagine by the acts of obedience and love towards you and one another. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence and for the gift of this home that we all flourish in. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen.